I just have one question for you as we start out here. And I know, ask people to raise their hands, but I'd just like to ask you to do this. If you're married here today or you want to be married, I'm not going to ask if you're married and don't want to be married, okay? If you're married here today or want to be married, would you just raise your hand? Just raise your hand up proudly. Okay, how many of you are No. You got to keep them up. Keep your hands up. All the venues, keep your hands up. Second question, how many of you plan on committing adultery? Okay. Just a few hands. This is New Life Church. Okay. No. And that's just the case. Is this really true? No one really plans on doing something like that. But you know, this is true. It's been a problem from the beginning. Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. This is right in your little notes. You have little notes there you can look at. It says, don't commit adultery. And when God gives a command, it's to protect us. Because so much pain, so much heartache come from this area. I mean, there are stats out on this. There's one from the Journal of Psychology and Christianity, just a scientific survey that they did, almost a clinical survey, and this is what they came up with. Listen, 65% of husbands will commit adultery, and 55% of wives will commit adultery before the age of 40. Can we just do a collective sigh right now? Ready? And that means there's been a lot of pain. There's been a lot of things happen because of this. If you look around our communities, we've driven around lately, you know, just looking at houses, there are a lot of foreclosures. And sometimes I wonder what the story is behind the empty house. Well, statistically, a lot of these empty homes come from a broken home, divorces that have happened. And statistically, there are a lot of divorces. And if you look at that, there's a huge number of those divorces that the home is split because of adultery. And so the good news here is none of us here plan on committing adultery. So I'm going to give you some guidelines for a friend you might know that maybe they're getting close to something like this, and you can maybe help them out. Actually, I'm going to give a list right now. We're going to start off 5 easy steps to commit adultery. So there you go. I don't know if you've ever had that in church before, but we're going to have that right now. Here's one, a great idea. If you want to commit adultery, first thing you do, neglect your marriage. Write that down. Neglect your marriage. Just kind of let your body go. Let your charm go. Don't be polite to each other anymore. Refocus your passion that you used to have for her or for him. Focus it on something else. Focus it on someone else. And just start this process. In fact, you know, you can still have sex, but make sure it's routine and maybe boring and not really, you know, just make sure there's no spark in any of that. And in addition to that, you can enjoy common interests with somebody else. And in fact, what would be really good along with that is to develop an emotional bond to someone else other than your wife or your husband. So maybe it's someone you look around work and there's someone who gives you just a little bit more attention than someone else. And so you start to exploit that a little bit. You start to respond back to that and you start to laugh with each other. You enjoy doing some things together. And you notice that they have the same type of humor. And depending upon your sports team, maybe you walk by and you notice that she has a Raider mug sitting on her desk. And so, you know, next week, you know, and so it's over. No, I'm just kidding. But so next week, you drop by a little chocolate that has, you know, Al Davis's face on the front of it or something like that, you know. And it brings a tear to her eye, you know. Just think of these thoughtful things that you have with each other. So neglect the marriage. Find someone you can have an emotional bond with. Someone that maybe, as you start talking, this would help so much. If you could share just a little bit about the troubles in your marriage to her. And she'll have such an attentive ear of just how a horrible hag she is to such a wonderful man. Okay, and then the next thing is then from there, when you hear those kind of words and you're feeling so good about this, you anticipate time together. And so this is where, number one, you kind of let your body go. Now, number three, you hit the gym. And you have that looking good checklist. And, you know, you're in the mirror a little bit more. And, you know, you're starting to check your teeth to make sure there's nothing in there after lunch. And you're checking your breath. and you're checking hair. You know, you check your nose hair and your ear hair, and ladies, your chin hair, right? It's like, all right, okay, come on, all right. Yeah, but you do, you know, when you do all that stuff, you say, you know, I'm feeling good, I'm looking good, and they notice that I'm looking good. You have this stuff, and then when you get all that going, then you flirt whenever possible. Make sure it's subtle. You can have subtle flirts. You know, what's a subtle flirt? You kind of walk in by, you kind of pinch him on the arm when you're walking by, and he kind of goes, ha, 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 you know, and there's just like, you know, there's like a tingling there, you know, where you're starting to, you know, and there's just all this chemical hormone type thing starting. And so, ladies, you know, you have this thing, you know, come on, you kind of flip the hair if you can, you know what I mean? Kind of flip the hair. And listen, lady, come on, try to listen to his jokes and anticipate when he's going to be funny. And laugh. You know, he's usually not funny, but you laugh anyway because you know he wants that. And listen to his story. When he's talking an issue, you know, listen seriously, like, you know, it's really important. Those are good things. I mean, this guy will just, you know, he'll take that. Guys, use your common sense. Build big muscles. Get a shirt comes down to here. Transplant hair on your chest. No. A lot of cologne. No. Hey, but try this. Try writing a thoughtful note on a Post-it. Go by, just kind of put it on her computer screen and say, how are you doing, ... really, you know? And just have simple, gentle things. Be aware when she's not feeling good. You know, are you doing okay today? Be very thoughtful. Notice the tone of voice here. Make sure your tone of voice is, hey, babe, how you doing? No. Make sure the tone of voice is a lot better. My wife has trained me really well to love her, and I love my wife to death. But, you know, you use that stuff like that. You can invest all your charisma with someone else. But the whole point is flirt, okay? So what do you say? Here, flirt, there, flirt, everywhere. There you go. So just get that one down. And then on top of that, just make excuses and rationalizations. And so you kind of keep a secret diary and secret scoreboard. So every time your spouse, in your opinion, is becoming rude or inattentive, see, it's always about the kids. See, they're always right. You just put this mental checklist of all of these things, why they're not a good spouse, and then you build all of that to build this quiet argument, because they're on court, they're on trial in your mind. And the more that you can, you know, put the little thing down and say they're guilty, the more you rationalize your behavior to someone else. If they weren't so mean, I wouldn't be with him. And you can just go on and on and on with this. And you can say, they don't appreciate me. You know, I have sexual needs, and they're just not meeting all that type of thing. And really, really, really continue to tell yourself this one statement. Here it is. I just want to be happy. And that will be your rationalization. Then you can just go out the door with that. And so, I'm tired of sarcasm, all right? Please don't leave and think that the sermon is done right now. Don't say, I went to New Life and, you know, a great message on how to commit adultery. Please don't do that, all right? Yeah, but this whole thing is, you know, the statistics are talking about physical adultery. And some of you are feeling pretty good here because, you know, you're taking this on as a literal definition of, you know, that physical intercourse and say, oh, that's adultery, but, you know, you're trying to skate a line, and there's really no line to skate. Because, you know, if there's any kind of mental attitude here, mental fantasy, guess what? Now, look, it's serious. There is an emotional barrier you cross when you actually have physical intercourse. So I'm not diminishing that, but what I'm saying is don't think that you're not an adulterer if you've been doing this stuff in your mind. In fact, usually if you're planting those seeds in your mind, that is what helps you finally cross the barrier over into actual physical adultery. So, what can you do to avoid adultery? What can you do really to beat the odds? You can open your Bibles if you want. There'll be passages in your notes here in Proverbs chapter 5 on this. But, you know, if you want to help beat temptation in your life here, read Proverbs 5. Some of you might just need to have that almost tattered in your Bible. You just read that on a regular basis, and it will call you, I guess, what do you call it? Call you to the carpet on this, and it will pop the bubble of the fantasy of what all this stuff is like. So, how do you do this? Whatever it takes to radically reduce risks. So how do you avoid adultery? Do whatever it takes to radically reduce risk. This is what it says in Proverbs chapter 5. Keep a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your best strength to others and your years to one who is cruel, lest strangers feed on your wealth and your toil enrich another man's house. So what does all that mean? It says, you know, if you end up messing around with someone else's wife, guess what can happen? Pregnancies can happen. Diseases can happen. You can end up giving your wealth to someone else, and they're going to raise your kid. There's all kinds of implications. But the key thing I want you to look at here is keep a path far from her. Now, this is the term for adultery here is feminized, okay? And so do not take that as sexist. Do not take that as women are evil. You know, stay away from that. That is not what's meant. This is Solomon who wrote this, speaking to his son. You could just as easily have a mother speaking to her daughter, and then you could, you know, switch the gender on this. So please don't take it that way. The key here is keep a path far from the door, a path far from the door. It's not standing out on the street and say, oh, the door's open and peeking in there. No one's going to see. I mean, don't even be in the same neighborhood. You know, what do they call them? There's a restraint against someone. You can't be within how many feet, you know, whatever that is. You know, just quadruple that, okay? Emotionally, just way overcompensate. Jesus says this way, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now, that does not mean, you know, you see someone, and look, there is an aesthetic appreciation. God created a beautiful nature, and part of that is our people. And really, I just love people. My wife loves people. And there is an appreciation. But it's one thing to be with a group of guys and a lady walks by and you're going, looking nice. It's another thing to have your wife standing next to you and saying, looking nice. And she's going, who are you talking to, honey? What are you talking about? See? And the guys are going, nightmare. See? So really, kind of the question here is, can you pass the lapel test? If there was some kind of a lapel camera on your glasses or whatever, and you didn't know it, and you know your spouse put that on there, and they were to see your behavior all day long, or maybe all week long, with everyone that you interact with, and with everyone that you talk to, and everyone you're on the phone with, and everything that you watch, and everything they see on your Facebook screen, and all of that, would you feel completely comfortable if that were the case? And that's really kind of the test. And so how can you radically reduce risk? There's some wonderful things here. I'll just kind of give you a list. And actually, five ways. There's a list of five right here. One is keep growing spiritually. Keep growing in your relationship with Christ. We've done study after study for those that are followers of Jesus. People that really stumble in this area have really grown cold in their personal walk with Jesus Christ. I mean, they know the Bible, but they've just grown cold in their personal walk with Jesus Christ. Now, how can that happen? The easiest way for that to happen is to continue to have a mindset, church, impress me. Church, do it for me every single week. Teacher up front, do it for me. Music, do it for me every single week because I need my fix because it's hard out there. When Jesus said what? What did he say to followers of Jesus? Pick up your cross and follow me. How can I build your kingdom wherever I'm at? And that goes against our culture here. It just does. And so when you get that mindset, and you put that mindset right into your home with your spouse, and they're going, you know, they're not meeting my needs anymore. You know, we first got married, man, the dishes that were coming out of that kitchen onto my table, and man, she called in pizza tonight. See, you know, just whatever it is, you see, and we can have that. So another one here is never be alone with the wrong person. You know, at New Life, our staff, we just have a policy, is you're not alone with someone in your car from the opposite sex. You don't go out coffee opposite sex. You don't go out to lunch with the opposite sex alone. You don't have the office door closed. And I can have a woman in my office or conference room or whatever, and it's full of windows and there are people all around or the door's open. But I don't have someone and no one else is in the office. You know, we try to avoid all of that. But at the workplace, there's stuff like that all the time. And so you have to really, really be careful. You know, two employees going out of town together. I just heard recently of a pastor who went on a mission trip and got attracted to a lady there, and they had an affair. I mean, he was there with a church group, And they figured out a way to do this. And so there are barriers. There are barriers that you just can't cross. Never talk badly about your marriage with the wrong person. That is such an open door. You know, maybe she starts to cry a little bit, and the guy's going, "Oh, what's wrong?" She says, "Oh, it's just my husband." You know, "Oh, really? What's..." Yeah, boy, I tell you, it just opens up all kinds of doors. Ladies, find someone else. Men, find someone else. Now, look, some of you are attracted to the same sex. The same principles work here. The attraction is attraction, the Bible says, and there's temptation, okay? And so you need to just stay away. And there are many people that, you know, have different attractions and stuff, but you can still follow what the Bible says here, okay? Does that make sense to you all? All right. Does that make sense? All right. Now, there's, you know, surround yourself with strong marriages then. Surround yourself with strong marriage. Biblical marriage, and how it's defined, you know, avoid people that are bitter and sarcastic and raunchy. Some of us get, "Hey, let's go to the strip clubs," or, you know, getting around a bunch of ladies that are, you know, just talking raunch, you know, Sex of the City type attitude and whatever. And find, you know, just great role models. And avoid inappropriate places and situations. I'll give you an example. There was a bunch of leaders from New Life who went to a conference, and everyone was in a big van and driving from place to place, dropping people off. And there was like still a good group, more of the night owl types. And someone in the van said, "Hey, why don't we just go out and get a cup of coffee, you know, before we turn in tonight, go to Starbucks or something like that." And right after they said that, they looked around the van, and this is a really wise thing, really good discipleship. They looked around the van, and they counted. There were four people in the van, and it was two men and two women. None of them married each other. And then immediately they said, second thought, let's just all go home. And everyone just kind of laughed because they knew the appropriateness and the guidelines there. Are you seeing what I'm saying? How that makes sense. So, a business conference, guys are going out to drink. You know, just stay home, even if you're not one of the guys. So there's a lot of things there. Look, the point here, it's easier to, you know, it's a lot easier to do these things than it is to find a new mother or a new father for your kids. So follow these guidelines. Do whatever it takes to reduce the risk. Do whatever it takes to invest passionately in your marriage. The key word there, passionately in your marriage. Simple terms here. Proverbs says, "May your foundation be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of..." Look at the scripture there. In the wife of your what? In the wife of your... Come on, let's say the word is youth. I'll give you a hint. Okay, all right, here we go. In the wife of your youth. I just saw a film recently. What was it? With George Clooney. Okay, and great actor, and he had gray beard, gray hair, everything, and he had a love interest in his life. Guess how many years younger she was than him? Just try to tell you, probably 20, 25. You know, and they always do that, you know? And you know, let's say George Clooney's, you know, 50-ish something. What if she were 25 years older than him? Why not? Good woman. But you see what I'm saying? There's this thing going on out there, and there's these expectations of pressure on women all the time. And this is so profound words. Look, it says, "A loving doe, a graceful deer." Some of you didn't know this is in the Bible. This next phrase here, "May her breasts satisfy you always." Some of you husbands here, that needs to be your life verse. Put it on a plaque. put it in your office. And it'd go, "That's a really objectionable statement." I know, it comes out of the Bible. You know what? So, "May her breasts satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love." Why be captivated, my son, by an adulteress? Why embrace the bosom of another man's wife? Craig Rochelle is a wonderful guy. He's helps New Life Church, helps sponsor our church, gives us some resource stuff. He said this: "Whenever the grass starts to look green on the other side, tend to your own lawn." Tend to your own lawn. Actually, he says water your own lawn, but that just sounded a little weird to me. Tend to your own lawn. And look at this word, captivated in the Hebrew. The Hebrew language is very visual. It's like showing a picture. And shagah means to be ravished. It means to be completely captivated and captured, intoxicated, and consumed completely. And be that with the love of your wife, of your spouse. In fact, it's kind of like a predator. So, you know, kind of the picture of a lion capturing a gazelle type thing. And just freely surrender yourself to this love and let her consume you with her love. That's what it's saying here. So how do you do that? So some quick steps here. Get transparent with each other. You know, take off that mask. I wasn't good early in our marriage with my feelings. And my wife would have to tell me, say, John, quit telling me what you think and tell me what you feel. And then she would just sit there and look right in my eyes. And my wife's beautiful eyes, man, they're just like lasers. Because, you know what I mean? And so, you know, because I came on to analyze and go, no, tell me what you feel. And then she's just looking at me. And that was a great, great discipline to learn to help us get intimacy together. Then get alone. You know, make sure, look, if you have kids, your kids will survive if you get alone. And some of you, I mean alone, away, give your kids to someone else overnight alone. I'm shocked how many married people I've talked to. Well, we've never been overnight away from our kids. Somehow that's a merit. I'm saying, no way. Get alone. Get spiritual. We already talked about that. What I mean by get spiritual is not just spiritual versus following Jesus. I mean following Jesus. I mean in the Word, in prayer, and grow together. In fact, one of the best ways to get spiritual together is really just get in one of our small groups and get other friends and other people that can support you and encourage you, to where you can get with another guy and say, you know, I'm starting to get the hots for someone at work, and get his counsel and get his prayer for you. And once you admit that to someone else out loud, it takes so much of the power away from that. Because a lot of the enticement of this is the forbiddenness and the secretness of it. And the minute it becomes known, it's like you're popping the bubble, okay? That's why this is important. Get help. If you need to, get wonderful counselors. There are so many wonderful counselors. And I'm telling you, you know, we have like Dave Ramsey to help you get out of debt. I'm saying right now, if you have some major challenges in your marriage, shelve Dave Ramsey, get in a little bit of debt to invest in great counseling to save your marriage. Best money you'll ever spend. Do you know how expensive a divorce is, you guys? Come on. Come on. Just do it. I keep hearing people, we can't afford it. Are you kidding me? It says, have you considered canceling cable? What? You know? So just do it. Do what you need. And then here's one other one. Get naked. All right? Men, I expect a good offering today. I'm just letting you know, okay? I'm letting you know. I'm helping you out here, guys. Come on. You know, what the pastor said, you know, so anyway. But look, you have to detox your expectations from your adolescent exposure to media and pornography. You know, you need to learn to love the body that God gave you. Because what's going to happen, and that dear woman, there's going to be these comparisons. And you're going to say, you don't say it this way, you're just thinking in your mind, well, she's all right, but she doesn't have the boobs like. And really what you're saying, she doesn't have the fake water balloons like. Because that's the reality. It's the mirage. It's the Photoshop that you guys are getting all sucked into. And it says, love the woman that's there. You know, I had some, you know, and I just love this analogy. It says, you know, maybe when you first married her, and this is so not disrespectful because, you know, I'm looking at me, okay? I'm going to tell you, okay? It says, you know, this is what this guy said, so I'll give you his name later. You can write him because it's not me. But the point is, you know, let's just skip this point because I'm just digging a hole here. I'm going, all right, let's just do this, okay? Do whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes to visualize the destruction. Visualize the destruction. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. You know, oh, you're just so wonderful. Man, I would have met you 20 years ago. I need to make this. Oh, that was a mistake. I should have known you then. Now, here's another one. I've heard this. It's just, God is so in this. God is providing you for me, and, you know, no other people don't understand. But look what it says. But in the end, that could be a woman or a man talking, by the way, okay? Again, But in the end, she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. What is? Adultery. Adultery. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. So, you know, try this on. Dad, let's say, have you practiced your speech sitting down with your kids and going, well, Daddy's not going to live here anymore. And you start to see the tears in your kids' eyes. I talked to a really successful CEO. I mean, this guy's worth, I don't know how many millions and millions and millions of dollars. And his story to me, what he lives all the time, was when he was 10 years old, and him and his 12-year-old brother sat on the couch, and his dad came in and saying, son, I'm not going to live here anymore. I found another woman that I love. And he says, I didn't hear anything else. My body went numb. And my brother and I just sat there and wept and wept and wept as my dad was talking. Guys, try that on for size. Try that on for size. How does it look? How does it look when you look deep into the eyes of that woman that you know you still love? You've been such an idiot. You've been so stupid. And you're feeling that, and you're feeling that, and you're feeling that, okay? Try that speech on for size now. That could be in the future, but it's not yet. You go, women, what about the same thing? Why is Daddy's best friend living with us now? Why is he here? Where's Daddy? I thought you were my daddy's friend. How come you're touching my mommy? Oh, kids, you know, someday you'll understand. You know, I've played this scenario out in my mind many, many times about looking in my wife's eyes and ever having to say something like that to her. It just terrified me. And looking into my kids' eyes. And just thinking, as followers of Jesus, the reputation your personal life can have, or for me, the reputation of New Life Church, if something like that would happen. All these people, listen, that have eternal destinies that might never come to Christ because of your failure or your laziness to keep barriers around you in your life. You know, as a pastor, I see people caught up in this. And once you cross that line, especially that physical line, there are so many, like, chemical rewards going on in your mind, almost like an addiction. And I hear people, they're intoxicated with the delusion. It's a fantasy that everything's just going to work out. And they're almost cavalier. And when people are confronting them, it's like, oh, you just don't understand. And their theme song is, you and me against the world. They just don't understand our love. It's so special. I know it's going to be complicated, and I know our kids won't understand for a while, but kids are resilient, and they're going to make it through this, and this forbidden love, and the thrill. Look, there's a thrill to the scandal initially, and you feel like you're so smart, and you kind of giggle, and you know, all this stuff, and like I said before, it's like you're correcting a mistake. You know, I should have never married who I did. I don't think I ever really loved them. Now, this is someone a year ago. You would have died for them. But at this point, well, I don't know if I ever, and you're rewriting history through this whole thing. Many times, you're reconnecting with someone when you were younger, trying to relive your youth. And you know where you find that? You know, I keep bringing this up because I think it is a landmine, okay? Landmine. And here it is. Here it is. And I'm going to sound prudish. I don't care. Facebook. You have no idea how many people I'm talking to right now that the initial thing started. Well, how did this start? Well, I wasn't looking for anything, and then something popped up on what? On, very good. All right. Now, so those people that are saying, you know, we're different. We'll live happily ever after. You know, at the end of your notes here are some statistics on adulterous affairs, forbidden love. All right? I just want to give it to you. What percentage of people actually marry the forbidden lover? 3%. 3%. What percent of those marriages end in divorce? 75%. What are the odds of a lasting marriage? According to these stats, 0.075. Now listen to this. What is real is at home waiting for you. What is real is at home waiting for you. And that's what God has given you. Honor the marriage covenant. You know, even if you're not a follower of Jesus, even if you don't think God exists, that is such a wise thing to do. Don't follow the implications of not believing in God. Follow the implications as if you believe God exists and his word has authority, because it'll be way better for you in your life. Humbly guard against these things. Repent for any kind of flirtations that you've had. Repent of adultery if you have to. But, and if there's a situation you need to work through with your wife on this, get wise counsel on how to do it. Do not purge yourself of guilt and lay that all on her or on him and go, whoa, I feel a little better now. You know, there are ways of doing these type things. And then here's some good news, you guys. Good news. Even when you are unfaithful, God is faithful. And we have seen so many most shattered relationships at New Life find miraculous healing here. And people get grounded. And look, adultery is biblical grounds for divorce. But adultery, listen, is also biblical grounds for forgiveness and reconciliation. And I have seen that so many times at New Life. But listen, if you're calloused and prideful, don't go counting on that. Don't go banking on that. I've had people come to me and say, you know, I know this is wrong, John, but, you know, I know God's going to forgive me and everyone's going to forgive me, and my wife and I will probably get back together later. But right now, man, I only go around once, and you know, I'm just going, really? Do you think you have the option just to repent whenever you want? That's a gift of grace to get you to a place to not be self-centered. So don't go banking on God. Just, you know, I can work all this out later, but right now I need to do what I need to do. You know what's going to happen someday? Jesus says, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. And God's going to say in a very loving, tender way, you know, I'm going to have to do what I have to do now, because you wanted to do what you wanted to do. So don't go banking on that's going to happen. That being said, I've seen miracles. I've seen miracles of forgiveness and of reconciliation. So, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful. Don't wreck your life. Don't wreck your life. And if this has happened in your life, I know the risk was it could maybe open up old wounds. Let this be an opportunity of reaffirming God's grace in both of your lives. Let it be an opportunity to both of you look deep in your hearts now at this point, instead of what happened 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever. Let this be a point, not my brother, not my sister, not my spouse, oh Lord, but it's me standing in the need of prayer. Bind us together, heal us, draw us together. Let's pray.